Krishna has just demonstrated the potency, the all-surrendering potency, all-surrendering potency of love, of bhakti, of love for him. What I mean by all-surrendering potency is that due to love for Krishna, the great devotees will do everything for Krishna, anything and everything for Krishna's pleasure. This is the mark of an exalted personage. Krishna is truly in the center of their life, of their existence. He is Savai Priyatama Chatma. He is the dearest to the soul. Naturally, he is the dearest to the soul, and he is the soul of the soul. Just like this body is given life by the soul, by ourself. Similarly, our soul, ourselves, is given life by Krishna, the super soul. So Krishna has demonstrated the love of the young unmarried Braja damsels for him. And now he's going to make the statement, well, by the mercy of Sukadev and Goswami and Srila Vyasadev, he's going to show that the essence of the process of spiritual advancement is nothing but bhakti, nothing but devotion, nothing but love for Krishna. And he's going to demonstrate this starting what we'll read now at the end of the 22nd chapter, then continuing to the 23rd chapter. The 23rd chapter is entitled, what is the 23rd chapter entitled? Excuse me?
Delivering the
or blessing, as it's called here, the wives of the Brahmins. And he's going to show in three stages here. First, in the part at the end of this chapter, at the end of the 22nd chapter, he's going to show that trees who are giving themselves for the benefit of others, even they, Krishna is going to glorify them in a wonderful way. And they, as we continue into the next chapter, even trees who are giving themselves for others, they are superior to Brahmins, very high birth. A Brahmin is a very high birth, a tree is a very low birth. But yet these trees are superior even to the Brahmins who are involved in properly executing Vedic ritualistic sacrifices. And to make the point, even though that these Brahmins are fixed in goodness, they are fixed in religiosity, they are fixed in following the Vedic principles, which is the definition of religiosity, but still, because they don't have bhakti, they cannot be compared to the trees even. What to speak of their wives, the wives of the Brahmanas. Because the wives of the Brahmanas love Krishna and therefore they are superior. Because it is bhakti that makes one superior. It is bhakti that is to be obtained. And the means of bhakti, the means of getting bhakti, is through bhakti. Bhakti only comes by bhakti, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says. Very mysterious. This really means that bhakti comes through the performance of bhakti and from the devotees who have bhakti. So let's continue here. So we read up to the 27th text, or the 28th text even, while the young girls, their desire was now fulfilled. They return to the village of Braja, to the Vrindavan town where they were. And all the time, and this is the nature of bhakti, they were meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, we're moving to cowherd boy pastimes. Sometime later, ata means sometime later, or the pastime is going to change. And it's, as it's going to be clear, and as the acharyas say, that this pastime took place in the summer, the hot season. The other pastime, the ones we just heard, took place in the winter season. So sometime later, Gopai Parivrito Bhagavan Devaki Sutta. Devaki Sutta, Yasoda Dulal, the son of Devaki, the darling of Mother Yasoda, is Bhagavan actually. He is the supreme fortunate person, the possessor of all opulences. Now, Parivrita means surrounded. Vrindavanad gato duram charayan ga sahagraja. He was surrounded by his friends and accompanied by Agraja, his older brother, and also the cows. And they went herding the cows in Vrindavan. This is the daily pastime of Krishna. And we heard this in the previous chapter, that he was herding the cows, making the earth fortunate by stepping upon the earth with his lotus feet. That made the earth fortunate. So sometime later, Krishna, the son of Devaki, surrounded by his cowherd boyfriends and accompanied by his elder brother Balaram, went a good distance away from Vrindavan herding the cows. They wandered to the border of Mathura, actually, by the Yamuna River. Here's the purport here. Having described how Lord Krishna stole the garments of the young gopis, Sukadeva Goswami now begins introducing the description of Lord Krishna's blessings upon the wives of some ritualistic Brahmins. And there's a comment by Jiva Goswami here. This is 29. Jiva Goswami says, the verse beginning atta, in this verse, the word atta expresses the beginning of another pastime, that is during the hot summer season. And it will be clear why it's the hot summer season in a moment. And according to the words that are going to be spoken in text 30, which is Nidagahar Kaptape, means, tap means, is going to mean the heat or fire. Yeah, because there was, it was so hot. We'll hear this in a moment. Nigda arka atape. Arka means the sun. Due to the heat, and the sun in Vrindavan is very hot in the summer. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments here. Keeping in mind the glorious display of mercy that Krishna had shown to the young gopis, and that was his mercy. It appeared that he was taking advantage of them, but in fact he was giving them his mercy by expressing his affection to them. So keeping that in mind, Sukadeva Goswami now wants to describe the blessings that Krishna bestowed on the wives of some ritualistic Brahmins. The word atta indicates at some other time, namely the summer. Now here's text 30. When the sun's heat became intense, Lord Krishna saw that the trees were acting as umbrellas by shading him. And thus he spoke as follows to his boyfriends. Hey Stoka Krishna, hey Amso, Sridham, Subala Arjuna Vishala Bishabanjasvin Deva Prastha Varutapa. So all these are names. The verse is just the names of Krishna's boyfriends, and they have different positions. There's one more verse too connected with this. Pashay Tatan Mahabhagan Partai Kanta Jivitan Vata Varsaptapahimam Sahanto Varayantina. Lord Krishna said, O Stoka Krishna and Amsu, these are Krishna's friends, O Sridham, Subal, and Arjun, also Krishna's friends, O Brishab, O Jasvi, Devaprastan, Verotapa, just see how greatly fortunate trees. Just see these greatly fortunate trees whose lives are completely dedicated to the benefit of others. Even while tolerating the wind, rain, heat, and snow, they protect us from these elements. So what is Krishna glorifying? Those who live for the benefit of others. What is the opposite of living for the benefit of others? Living selfishly. And as our Dadu in Vrindavan is fond of saying, I am the worst kind of fish. A selfish. So, the highest grade of helping others is love for Krishna, of course. But here, Krishna is glorifying the trees because they live. They suffer themselves to benefit others. Or rather, while they themselves are suffering, they benefit. They are trying to help others, even though they themselves are suffering the rain, the heat, etc. Purport. Lord Krishna was preparing to bestow his mercy on the wives of the hard-hearted ritualistic Brahmins. And in these verses, the Lord indicates that even trees who are dedicated to the welfare of others are superior to Brahmins who are not. Certainly, the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement should soberly study this point. We'll read the comment of Srila Sridhar Swami to this text too. This is text 31-32. Going to the sacrificial arena for the purpose of showing mercy to the wives of the Brahmins and having in mind the hard-heartedness of the Brahmins, Krishna praises the trees as superior to them by the four verses beginning Pashyata from 32-35. And here also Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. In these verses, Krishna indicates that even trees who are dedicated to the welfare of others are superior to Brahmins who are not. The coward boys, beginning with Stoka Krishna, are situated in the eight directions with the duty of protecting Krishna. Who awards them those duties? Mother Yasoda. Every day when the boys go out, please open the door a little. When the boys go out cowherding with Krishna, Mother Yasoda is in complete anxiety about Krishna. That's how she manifests. She manifests her love. She's in anxiety about Krishna. So she says, you, Balaram, you stay right here with Krishna. And Varatapa, you stay right in front of Krishna. Don't leave his sight for a moment. Don't let him go away for a moment. You protect him on this way. You protect him in that way. Because everyone in Vrindavan's consciousness was simply focused on Krishna. There was not the slightest trace of selfishness. We in this world, as conditioned souls, captivated and trapped within false ego, we are suffering and we want to get happiness. And how do we think we'll become happy? By getting something from me, getting something from me, getting something from me, and I'm still not happy. That must mean it's because I haven't gotten just the thing I needed, or I need more. But here Krishna is saying that is not the way to get happiness. This is also explained in Kapila Muni's teachings, that if you want to water the leaves of the tree, and each and every one of us are compared to leaves of a tree, you cannot water the leaf independently. You have to water the root. And it is Krishna who is the root of our existence. We have to please Krishna. Selfishness simply does not work. It does not help. So, surrounding Krishna in the eight directions, that means all the compass points, with the duty of protecting Krishna, Deva Prastha and Verotapa, who are Krishna's umbrella carrier, and they cleanse his path. Because there may be some, on the paths in Vrindavan, there may be a thorn, there may be a sharp rock, there may be a sprout of something that may give Krishna some pain. And Mother Yasoda and every resident of Vrindavan, they don't want Krishna to suffer because they love him. They only want his happiness. So one boy, Veritapa, cleansed his path. Another boy carried the umbrella. These are servants, it seems like. Servant friends. And they are situated in front and behind. Who's in front? The one clearing the path from the of anything that might hurt Krishna's feet. And who's behind? Holding the umbrella. The 11th boy, Bhadrasena, is the leader of all the coward boys. He pays attention to all the details and supervises all the boys. But presently he was situated at a distance. Krishna observed that while tolerating rain and scorching sunshine, the trees would continue to shelter others from rain and heat. So Krishna says in text 33. Just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like that of great personalities. For anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed. This, they point out in the commentary here that this comes from Prabhupada's translation in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that this verse is quoted. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments here, short comment. The trees are like generous persons, sujan, who are intent on serving guests. Whoever approaches them to ask for something never goes away disappointed. Krishna continues. These trees fulfill one's desires with their leaves, their flowers, their fruits, their shade, their roots, their bark, and their wood. And also with their fragrance, their sap, ashes, pulp, and shoots. The shoots coming from them. Everything is useful in a tree, even in its death. What happens to the tree? It's burned, it's firewood. And then it turns to ashes. And ash is also good to fertilize the ground. It adds potassium to the ground, to the earth. So in every point of its life, it gives fruit, it gives shade, its sap is healthy. So many different things. The tree is giving, 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 giving. Whoever approaches, yes, 34, yes, 35. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words. That's a direct instruction. Prabhupada used to say that also. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a very simple comment here. One should use his life to serve others. One is more happy even. We think that by taking more for me, for me and what's mine, I'll become happy. But actually, it's by giving that one becomes happy. So Krishna is saying this, pointing to the trees who exemplify this. 36. Thus moving amongst the trees, whose branches were bent low by their abundance of twigs, fruits, flowers, and leaves, Lord Krishna came to the Yamuna River. The cowherd boys let the cows drink the clear, cool, and wholesome water of the Yamuna. O King Prickett, the cowherd boys themselves also drank that sweet water to their full satisfaction. Then, O King, the cowherd boys began herding the animals in a leisurely way within a small forest along the Yamuna. But soon they became afflicted by hunger, and approaching Krishna and Balaram, they spoke as follows. So what happened? The day went on, the morning went on, they hadn't taken their breakfast, or their brekkie, as we say in Australia, and they became hungry. Jiva Goswami explains. So they said to Krishna, Krishna, we're so hungry. And actually it will come in the next verse. We're so hungry. Please let us get something to eat. But wait a second. Does this mean that the cowherd boys, every time they wanted something, selfishly, more or less, even if it was something reasonable, they approached Krishna and said, give me, give me, give me, give me. Actually, the truth is, the cowherd boys, they weren't concerned whether they were hungry or not. They were fearing that Krishna was hungry. And just like if we're sitting together and there's some... And this, of course, is this is a cultured way of dealing. If we're sitting together, and you're my guest in my house, and I think you may be hungry, so I say to you, "Would you like something to eat? I'll go and make something." And then you, naturally, not wishing to inconvenience me, will say, "No, no, it's all right. I'm not hungry at all. This may be a little water or something. I don't need anything." Even though I may be hungry, I'll never say, "Yes, yes, make me a pizza or make me or something." Maybe I would say that. But no, we don't say that. So the cowherd boys wouldn't ask Krishna, "Krishna, are you hungry? Should we get something? We'll get something for you." No, they wouldn't say that. Because then Krishna would say, "No, no, no, no problem." So rather, in a very cultured way, they said, "Oh, Krishna, we're so hungry." Because they wanted Krishna to have something to eat. So if we're sitting together, and if I say to you, "Would you like something to eat?" You say, "No, no, no, no." But if I say, "I'm so hungry, I want something to eat," then immediately you'll say, "Oh, we should cook something and get something immediately." And then, in that way, I get the opportunity to feed you. So in this way, and I saw Prabhupada deal like this one time. One time we were in Hong Kong. It's called the Peak. Have you ever been on the Peak in Hong Kong, anyone? Only this one. Takey, have you been on the Peak in Hong Kong?
I need your book.
Oh, in my book. Well, anyway, it's like a mountain, a little mountain, like a big hill. It's not as nice as Govardhan Hill. And in the winter, it's very, very cloudy and rainy there, even though it might be quite pleasant down on the ground. So we were walking there, and Srila Prabhupada, fortunate to be with Prabhupada. Oh, it was very special to be with Prabhupada. It was like being in a different realm, a different universe. So it was sort of rainy and very, very damp and windy. So I said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, he wasn't wearing a coat or anything." So I said, "Prabhupada, are you cold?" He said, "No, no problem." And then I saw it was actually so cold. So then Krishna gave me a little intelligence. So I said, Prabhupada, I'm so cold. And then he immediately said, then let's go. Let's go down immediately. So I understood Prabhupada, such a gentleman at that time. Such a gentleman. So Jiva Goswami explains that the cowherd boys were concerned that Krishna would be hungry, and thus they feigned their own hunger so that Krishna and Balaram would make suitable arrangements to eat. Now we're into chapter 23. The cowherd boys said, Rama, Rama, Mahabaho, Krishna Dushta Nabarhana. That means Rama, Rama, Mahabaho. What does Mahabaho mean? Mighty arm. Krishna Dushta Nabarhana. O Krishna, Dushta, the wicked, Nabarhana, O destroyer of the wicked, of the enemies. Because hunger is the greatest enemy, it is said. So you have mighty arms and you destroy enemies. So the enemy that you have to destroy, O Balaram and Krishna, is hunger, our hunger. Eshavai bhadate chunas tat chantim kartam ar hata. We have, O Rama, O mighty arm one, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it. Purport. The boys jokingly implied that Sri Krishna is the subduer of all bad things. The Lord should subdue their hunger by arranging for them to eat. In this statement by the cowherd boys, we observe the intimate loving friendship they enjoyed with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, this chapter describes how the cowherd boys were disrespected when begging food from some brahmanas who were performing sacrifice. How Krishna showed mercy to the brahmins' wives, and how their husbands felt remorse. The cowherd boys said, the Vedas say that hunger is man's worst enemy. If you can destroy our hunger now, then you will be successful in conquering this enemy. This is how the boys were thinking. To. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus entreated by the cowherd boys, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki Sutta, the son of Devaki, replied as follows. For he desired to please certain of his devotees who were Brahmins' wives. Now look what Krishna is going to do to please the Brahmin, the devotees, the wives of the Brahmins. Please go, prayata deva, yajanam brahmanam brahmavadina, shatram angirasam nama, yasate swagakamyaya. Swagakamyaya. They desired to go to swaga. These brahmanas were performing this angiras nama, a sacrifice name, angiras. They wanted to go to heavenly planets. Is that desiring the welfare of others, or is it basically selfish? Pious selfishness. So Krishna says, please go to the sacrificial arena where a group of brahmanas learned in the Vedic injunctions are now performing the angiras sacrifice to gain promotion to heaven. We'll read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment here. Text 3. Brahmins, even if they have austerity, knowledge, dharma, and so forth, do not have my satisfaction. I'm not satisfied with them if they are devoid of devotion. Krishna is saying this. Devotion is everything. On the other hand, their wives, even though lacking austerity and so forth, have my satisfaction. I'm satisfied with them because they possess devotion for me. In order to exemplify one after another these two different ideas amongst one group of brahmanas, First the Lord sends the cowherd boys to the place of the brahmanas with the verse beginning prayata, because Krishna wants to make a point. Text 4. When you go there, when you go to these Brahmins, my dear cowherd boys, O Gopa, O Gopis, Gopas, you simply request some food. Declare to them the name of my elder brother, the Supreme Lord Balaram. Kirtayanto Bhagavan Aryasya Mama Amchabidham. And also Aryasya Mama, also Abhidham, you could say my name to them too and explain that you have been sent by us, by Krishna and Balaram. Purport. Lord Krishna encouraged his boyfriends to request charity without being embarrassed. In case the boys felt they had no right to personally approach such respectable Brahmins, the Lord told them to mention the names of Krishna and Balaram, the holy names of God. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Text 4. You should ask for rice, calling out our names. Though those Brahmins are supposed to be intelligent, they must be woken from their deep slumber of their forgetfulness by calling out our names. You should call out Baladev's name first, because those materialistic Brahmins will think that Balaram, being a Kshatriya, is a worthy recipient of charity, whereas I, being a mere Vaishya, I'm certainly unworthy. Even if they give a little, it is acceptable. That's what Krishna said. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cowherd boys went there and submitted their request. They stood before the Brahmins with palms joined in supplication, and then they fell flat on the ground, dandavat. Dandavat means like a danda, a stick. They fell to the ground. Patita bhuvi. They fell onto the ground. Patita, they've fallen to the ground. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cowherd boys went there and submitted their request. Very, very humbly. They stood before the Brahmins with their palms joined in supplication. And then they fell flat on the ground to offer respect. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments here. The cowherd boys approached with folded hands to show their humble attitude. Though they fell on the ground, the cowherd boys appeared more refulgent than the Brahmins who were standing. Because these were no ordinary cowherd boys. They were Krishna's eternal associates. The cowherd boys said, Hey Bhumi Deva Snutya, Srinuta, O earthly gods, please hear us. We are cowherd boys. We cowherd boys are executing the orders of Krishna. And we have been sent here by Balaram. We wish all good for you. Please acknowledge our arrival. Then the 7th verse. Lord Ram and Lord Achyuta are tending their cows not far from here. They are hungry and they want you to give them some of your food. Therefore, O Brahmins, O best of the knowers of religion, if you have faith, please give some food to them. Here's the purport here. The cowherd boys doubted the generosity of the Brahmins, and thus they used the word babukshitao, meaning that Krishna and Balaram were hungry. The boys expected the Brahmins to know the Vedic injunction, anasya chuditam patram. Anyone who is hungry is a fit candidate for receiving food in charity. But if the Brahmins would not recognize the authority of Krishna and Balaram, their title Dvija, what does Dvija mean? Twice born, would be taken to mean, because in the verse there's the word dvija, tayo dvija odanam atinam jadi, dvija. So if they would not recognize that they are meant to give charity to Krishna and Balaram, then their word representing them being Brahmins or dvija will have a different meaning. Instead of twice born, it would mean dvi, born from two, from two, ja, born. Rather than twice born, it would just mean you are born from two parents. Nothing more than that. When the Brahmins did not respond to the cowherd boy's initial request, the boys addressed the Brahmins with a slight trace of sarcasm as Dharma Vittama, O best of the knowers of religion. You know what to do, and here is our request. But the Brahmin didn't actually know what to do. And then they spoke further. Except during the interval between the initiation of the performer of a sacrifice and the actual sacrifice of the animal, or most pure Brahmanas, it is not contaminating for even the initiated to partake of food, or at least in sacrifices other than the Sotramani. Purport. The cowherd boys anticipated the possible objection from the Brahmins that they could not give the boys any food because they themselves had not yet eaten, and that a priest initiated to perform a sacrifice should not eat. So we can't give you food first because we've not eaten. We're Brahmins and we're priests in the sacrifice. Therefore we can't eat while the sacrifice is going on, so how could we give you food? So the boys, anticipating this objection, they said you can actually give food because there is only one specific time where it's not appropriate for the initiating priest, even after he's being initiated, because every time you perform a sacrifice, you take an initiation. This is the Vedic system. One of these Vedic sacrifices, you get a mantra, you're initiated specifically for the sacrifice. So the cowherd boys were showing they were not... They said you can actually do it at this particular time. It's not the time when it's restricted. So therefore the cowherd boys humbly informed the Brahmins about various technicalities of ritualistic service, sacrifice. The cowherd boys were not unaware of the formalities of Vedic culture, but their real intention was simply to render loving service to Lord Krishna. Iti te bhagavad yachnam shrinvanto pitan na shushuvu chudrasya burikamano balisya vridamanina. The Brahmins heard this supplication, this request from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet they refused to pay any heed. They refused to even notice. They refused to acknowledge the request even. They did not reply. They did not say anything. Indeed, they were full of petty desires, and they were entangled in elaborate rituals. Though presuming themselves advanced in Vedic learning, they were actually inexperienced fools because they did not know Vedas Chasavarahameva Vidyo. They did not know the purpose of sacrifice. They did not know the actual thing they were trying to achieve by what they were doing. This is the definition of rascal. You're doing something, but you don't know what you're doing it for and what the actual purpose is. So they had petty desires. What does petty desire mean?
Small.
Very small desires, not worthy of much. They were taking the trouble to perform the Vedic ritual without knowing the purpose, and they were asking for something very, very small. Going to Swarga, to the heavenly planets. So therefore, inexperienced fools. So this is Sukadev speaking, and in this verse and the next two verses, he's going to criticize these Brahmins. I'll read those verses together. the next two. Although the ingredients of sacrificial performance, the place, time, particular paraphernalia, mantras, rituals, priests, fires, demigods, performer, offering, and the as yet unseen beneficial results. What's the Sanskrit word for that? Usually it's called apurva. Dharma, they call it the invisible power. All are simply aspects of his, Krishna's, opulence. The Brahmins saw Lord Krishna, despite the fact that everything they were doing is just Krishna's mercy, Krishna's opulence, Krishna's potency. The Brahmins saw Lord Krishna as an ordinary human being. Because of their perverted intelligence, they failed to recognize that he is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the directly manifest personality of Godhead, whom the material senses cannot ordinarily perceive. Thus, bewildered by their false identification with the mortal body, they did not show him, Krishna, proper respect. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on text 11. Due to their materialistic vision, the Brahmins thought of Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, as an ordinary human being. Although Krishna cannot be perceived by the material senses, he can be realized, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, by mercy. And how does one get mercy from Krishna? Because mercy is causeless. You cannot do anything. You cannot force mercy. So, does that mean one cannot do anything to get Krishna to bestow one's mercy? This is the meditation of a devotee. How can I get Krishna to show his mercy to me? Is there without the seed being placed in the field, nothing will grow. But does that mean that there's nothing the farmer can do until the seed is placed there? No. He can make that ground very, very fertile. So when that the seed, or that someone will say, oh, this ground is so fertile, I'll surely put some seeds here. So that is the responsibility of a devotee, to make his consciousness, his chitta, his heart, very fertile so that Krishna will be attracted. So one of the things that makes the heart very attractive to Krishna is what? Is humility. The negative pole attracts the positive pole. So Mahaprabhu therefore said, Trinada Pisani Chaina Turoda Pisana Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadhari. So then one can chant properly. Krishna gives one the ability. One must be humble, but not only humble, but one must desire that mercy too. One must have a burning desire, because if one's only humble but doesn't want the particular thing that Krishna can give, why will Krishna give it? You don't want it. I don't want it. So, tatra loyam apimuyam ekalam. Therefore, I'm sure that Rupa Goswami has said, and Ramananda Roy has said, that greed, or the desire, the intense desire, is the price that one has. That makes the ground very, very fertile. I want this. And I don't want other things. Nadanam, najanam, nasandarim, kavitam, va, jagadisha, kamani. What do we usually want in this world? That's like when a child is crying. What does the mother do? Child is hungry. Huh? Yeah. But what happens if the mother can't give the stuff what she's doing and feed the child breastfeed the child now? What does the, at least in this, at this particular time, what does the mother do?
A dummy
in the mouth. So that's a perfect word for it. And the child goes, and there's two dummies then. The child and the thing that the child has in the mouth. There's no milk going to come out, but it satisfies the child. But if the child is really hungry, the child spits out the dummy and he cries even louder, "I want some milk!" Doesn't, in baby language, it means just, "Wah, wah." I don't want this useless piece of rubber. I want milk. I want something that's going to nourish me. So what does Mahaprabhu says, Nadanam Nadanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamani? These are the dummies that the material energy will offer us. And if we take Nadanam, if we are satisfied with wealth, a good birth, beauty, beautiful associates, fine literature and poetry, or even liberation. If we will be satisfied with these things, then Krishna won't give us himself as he gave. That's what he. What did he give? What is the thing that he gave the gopis? We heard in the last chapter, what did he give them? He took their clothes. He humiliated them. He took away their modesty. But what did he give them? He gave himself to them. Because that's what these gopis wanted. They didn't want anything else. They wanted Krishna. They wanted to love Krishna. They wanted to serve Krishna. So that means, going back to the analogy of the planting, making the ground fertile means plowing, getting rid of all the weeds, all these materialistic desires. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. Being very, very, very fertile. No weeds, no rocks. No dumminess. And very deep humility. And very deep desire. I want this and nothing else. And nothing else, nothing else, nothing else. And being fixed in that is called nishta. And when one has nishta, what is born out of nishta? When one chants in this way, what is born is taste, ruchi. Taste means I can't live without Krishna. Not only don't I want the things of the material world, I want the service of Krishna. I want that. That's my taste. I don't have a taste for this. I don't have a taste for thinking I'm the body. I don't want these things. But I want very intensely something very wonderful, the most wonderful thing. Qualified or unqualified, I want. But I've done my work of pulling out the weeds. It's one Prabhupada used to say, first deserve, then desire. Because we want, but we don't want to pull out the weeds. We don't want to take the trouble. We don't want to do our part. So therefore, Krishna's, he's not so easily tricked. Because that means some insincerity is there. So we do our part and then sincerely ask Krishna to help. So the Brahmins, this is text 12. So Krishna is available. I'll read Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment again on 10 and 11. Due to their material vision, the Brahmins thought of Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, as an ordinary human. They had mundane materialistic vision, and therefore they saw Krishna, who was purely spiritual, as mundane. Because it was their vision that was mundane. It was devoid of bhakti, devoid of love. So therefore they couldn't see Krishna at all. Bhakti mam nananti yavanya chasmi tatvata. They could not see Krishna at all, even though he was right there. Even though the cowherd boys were more effulgent and powerful than them, they could not see, they could not see, they could not see.
Although Krishna cannot be perceived by the material senses, he can be realized by mercy. Because the word used for Krishna, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the name of Krishna used in this 11th verse is Adhokshaja. He is beyond the material senses' ability to perceive. Bhagavantam Adhokshajam.
Manusya Drishya Duspragya. They cannot know. Matyamano Namenere. So therefore they could not see, identifying with their own body, they could not see Krishna. Text 12. When the Brahmins failed to reply, even with a simple yes or no, O chastiser of the enemy, O Mars Prakrit, the cowherd boys returned disappointed to Krishna and Ram and reported this to them. So they wouldn't even acknowledge. Please, were they begging? Please give us some food. Krishna and Balaram are hungry. They're nearby. And they wouldn't even say yes. They wouldn't say no. What an insult. Neglect. The greatest insult. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments.
Thinking, how can we give to the cowherds before we have eaten? The Brahmins did not say yes, and they did not reject the proposal to give their remnants after the jagna by saying no.
Now, noticed in this verse, Maharaj Prakrit is called a chastiser of the enemy. Parantapa, Sukadeva is speaking to him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, with his illuminated, exalted intelligence and pure spiritual consciousness explains why. Seeing that Maharaj Prakrit was becoming angry on hearing this, Sukadev Goswami said, O subduer of the enemies, if you had been there, even though they were the best of Brahmins, you would have punished them just as if they were enemies. Just hearing that these Brahmins would not stop what they were doing and feed Krishna and Balaram Maharaj Prakrit. He was getting angry. He could not tolerate it. This is all wonderful. So they went back to Krishna and Balaram to report it. The cowherd boys did. Hearing what had happened, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the universe, simply... he laughed. Then he again addressed the cowherd boys, showing them the way men act in this world. He said, anyway, this is very typical. Purport. By laughing, Lord Krishna indicated to the cowherd boys that they need not be angry at the ritualistic brahmanas, but they should understand that one who begs will often be refused. So Krishna makes a point on it of this. General point, when you're begging, you will get disappointed and you cannot get disturbed by these things. This is the way men act in this world. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Krishna laughed because it was not proper to show anger towards the ignorant Brahmins. Furthermore, Krishna wanted to teach that a beggar should not become despondent because it is the nature of begging that one is often refused. 14. Lord Krishna said, he laughed and said, anyway, don't worry, this is the way it is in this world. Then Krishna said, tell the wives of the Brahmins that I have come here with Lord Shankarshan. Who is Lord Shankarshan? Balaram. They will certainly give you all the food you want, for they are most affectionate toward me. And indeed, with their intelligence, They reside in me alone. What does that mean? Their intelligence resides in me. They are always thinking about me, about Krishna. And they are devoted to me. Yes, they will give. They must give because they have bhakti. These others, these brahmanas, had no bhakti. They were ritualistic smartas. No bhakti. But the wives, their wives are quite different. Their intelligence resides in me alone. Their intelligence, their minds do not wander. Snigda, my ushita dia. Snigda means affectionate. Mai in me, ushita. Dio, their intelligence resides in me because of their affection. You cannot get your intelligence to fix itself on Krishna unless there is affection. These Brahmins' wives had this purport. Well, physically, the wives of Brahmins remained at home. Within their minds, they resided in the Supreme Lord Krishna because of intense affection for him. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the reason Lord Krishna did not have the coward boys tell the Brahmins' wives he was hungry is that he knew this would severely distress these devoted ladies. Just hearing that Krishna is hungry would cause them distress because they loved Krishna. This is the nature of love. You cannot tolerate to hear of the distress of your beloved. Simply out of affection for Lord Krishna, however, the wives would be happy to give all the food requested of them. They would not heed their husband's prohibition since they resided within the Lord through their transcendental intelligence. Srila Sridhar Swami comments on text 14. They're simply remaining in their homes with their bodies. Whereas with their minds, they are residing in me, Krishna says. Because they are very affectionate, they are very affectionate to me, and therefore they will give. And that is the point. Affection, love, bhakti. Then what one does for Krishna's pleasure is called seva, or bhakti, or devotional service. It is not work. It is not business. It is affection. It is a gesture. The work is a gesture, an external manifestation of the internal consciousness. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Krishna said, just tell the wives of the Brahmins that Balaram and I have come, but don't tell them I am hungry. For if they hear that, these devoted ladies will become severely distressed. But how will they give us food if we do not tell them you are hungry? Seeing that you are hungry, they will give food for us. But their husbands will prevent them. The Brahmins' wives will have great affection for me. They will not heed their husbands' prohibitions. Since their minds dwell in me, Mai Ushita Dhiya, it is only their bodies that are residing in their husbands' houses. So therefore, the coward boys then went to the house where the Brahmins' wives were staying. And there, the boys saw those chaste ladies sitting, nicely decorated, with fine ornaments. And bowing down to the Brahmin ladies, the boys addressed them in all humility. Obeisance is unto you, Namo Vo Vipra Patnibhyo. Obeisance is to you, O wives of the learned Brahmins. Kindly hear our words. We have been sent here by Lord Krishna, who is passing by not far from here. He has come a long way with the cowherd boys and Lord Balaram tending the cows, and now he is hungry. So some food should be given for him and his companions. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments.
Ah.
Just see how these ladies have become stunned out of ecstasy simply by hearing the name of Krishna.
Gas charayan sa gopalai sa ramo duram agata. The cows nearby, he has come a long way, so they had said that Krishna is here. Obeisances to you, O wives of the learned Brahmins, kindly hear our words. We have been sent here by Lord Krishna, who is passing by, not far from here. He has come a long way with the cowherd boys and Lord Balaram tending the cows. So just hearing the name of Krishna, the wives of the Brahmins became stunned and didn't say anything. And they became ecstatic. And the cowherd boys are saying, what? They're thinking, what's going on around here? We talk to the Brahmins and say, please give us some food. They don't answer us. Now we're telling the wives of the Brahmins, please give us Krishna Bala, and they don't answer us. But for completely opposite reasons. One, didn't answer out of hard-heartedness. And the other, the gopis, or the Brahmins' wives, didn't answer because of ecstasy. They were stunned. So therefore, because they were stunned, they spoke more and they told details and they didn't do what Krishna said, and they actually said, just to bring some reaction to them and awaken them from their ecstatic trance, they told them that Krishna and Balaram is nearby and Krishna, and they're hungry. Some food should be given for him and his companions. And so when the boys saw that they had become fully conscious and announced to them that he desired food, they, the wives of the Brahmins, who were extremely affectionate, became completely overwhelmed. The wives of the Brahmins were always eager to see Krishna, for their minds had been enchanted by descriptions of him. They had heard about Krishna. They were eager to see him. Thus, as soon as they heard that he had come, they became very excited. Srila Sridhar Swami comments here. Because of their minds being agitated through the hearing of topics about Krishna, they were anxious to see Krishna. And therefore, when they heard that he had arrived, they became excited. What a different reaction. This is due to devotion, to love. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur offers a short comment. The wives began criticizing their minds on hearing that Krishna was hungry. Oh, low mind, oh, you low mind, although you had heard that your beloved Krishna is suffering from hunger, Why did you not wake up from fainting? They had fainted in ecstasy. So this shows, and there's other examples of this with Daruka, the chariot driver of Krishna, that the gopis, the residents of Vrindavan, the associates of Krishna, they don't care about ecstasy. Their desire isn't ecstasy. Their desire is just to serve Krishna. Ecstasy naturally comes, but their desire isn't the ecstasy, it's the service out of love. And if there's a choice between ecstasy and service, they throw away the ecstasy and curse the ecstasy if it gets in the way, if it interferes with their service, because that's their interest and that's the symptom of the purity of their love. Taking along in large vessels the four kinds of foods, full of fine taste and aromas, all the ladies went forth to meet their beloved, just as rivers flow towards the sea. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the wives of the Brahmins experienced conjugal feelings towards Krishna as if he were their paramour. Thus they could not be checked as they rushed to see him. Srila Sridhar Swami comments on text 22. 21 rather.
2021. The reason for this is stated when they went rushing towards him. By the words beginning Bhagavati, those who have acquired such expectations by long hearing.
They heard about Krishna for a long time, and therefore their desire to be with Krishna and see Krishna and serve him awoke. It was very, very deep because of their hearing about him for a long time.
And while going there, they saw him.
Now what did they see? Oh, excuse me, that was 20. Yes. Although their husbands, brothers, sons, and other relatives tried to forbid them from going, their hope of seeing Krishna, cultivated by extensive hearing of his transcendental qualities, won out. Along the river Yamuna, within a garden decorated with buds of Ashok trees, they caught sight of him strolling along in the company of the cowherd boys and his elder brother Balaram. And tomorrow we shall hear the description of what they saw, what Krishna looked like. But now they've just rushed to Krishna. They just saw him. They had heard about him. They were so eager due to the having heard about him. And now they saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan, so all attractively beautiful. They ignored everyone and just ran to Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai, Sri Vrajabasis ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, so tomorrow, Krishna willing, we shall continue.